Foul! The guild ransom bylaws strictly stipulate you gotta return all abductees if the ransom's been paid in good faith.
How the hell do an ambush and a bag of dittos constitute good faith?
What's the matter with him now?
He's been scarfing pistachios at a hot spider hole for 2 hours because somebody was late.
Oh, excuse us for ruining your double cross. All right, do-over. Everybody back in the cocoon.
So, hi. Welcome to Venture Bros, Venture Bros Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Nick, the Penguin Friedman.
Quack, quack.
That's not a penguin.
What? Oh, okay, hold on. I'll do a better one.
Okay.
Go, 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 go!
Still not a penguin, but I like where your head's at.
Oh, boy.
You need to watch March of the Penguins again.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, hold on a second. I got one more. I'm Morgan Freeman.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I was really hoping you were going to say I'm Danny DeVito, just to catch everybody off guard, but then... Then it didn't happen. Oh, well. I'm fine with it. Because we also have Graham Stargirl Mason.
I am Stargirl. Did I get it?
Yeah.
You got it. That,
yeah.
I felt like I was reading the book. Like, it was just right in front of me.
I mean, she says that somewhere. She's got to.
With the pause, too. I am Stargirl.
Stargirl?
Just a panel of her looking at her hand, and her name is written out.
I will say this. If you don't know who Stargirl is, you should check her out. She's pretty awesome. Geoff Johns created her based on his sister, and it's a very sweet rendition of his sister, and it's a really awesome character who's getting her own show on the DC Network, so, you know, check her out. Yeah, that's my end of the plug for a comic that's not currently running.
Yeah. Do you have any other plugs?
I do, as a matter of fact. I don't feel enough people have followed me up or listened to what I've asked, or I don't know how to phrase this better. Basically, I've put a challenge out there for people to try to stump Samwise, and so far they haven't done it. So you guys are going to have to try a hell of a lot harder. So check out the show Samwise. It comes out every Wednesday or Tuesday, depending on how our articles are going. One of those 2 days, 10 a.m. Sam will answer any and all questions you have about life using Lord of the Rings Extended Editions and their special features. If you don't think she can do this, well, that's who I'm talking to. Prove me wrong. I think Sam can tackle any question you have. Do you? There's the end of my dramatic pause. Reach out to her at sam.wise.ath@gmail.com or give her a ring, 608-561-2755. I could be wrong, but I think she told me you can even text that number if you don't want her to hear your voice and you don't want her to have your email address. But I guess then she'd have your phone number. Either way, reach out. Try to think of some life question that she can't answer. Let's stump Samwise. That's the end of that plug. Is there anything else we need to get out of the way bright and early?
Handsome Ransom.
Handsome Ransom. No. That's the episode for today. That's not housekeeping stuff. Oh, Handsome Ransom! That's what we're doing. We're talking about Handsome Ransom.
Yeah.
Yeah, season 4, episode 2, coming out of the gate strong, I think. But
wait, for what? What show is this for?
Wow, how can I not think of a single joke show?
Rochelle.
Yeah, the Great British Bake Off.
All of these were better than. I was gonna say coupling, and then I just couldn't think of it.
Fail. Insert joke here.
Yeah, I would love to say that I'm going to cut around this and make myself look good, but I'm just not going to. That was just a brain fart, is what I'll call it.
That was too good.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Anyhow, Handsome Ransom. Nick, do you want to give us a quick rundown of everything that happens in Handsome Ransom?
Yes, I will.
Should I keep trying to say it as obnoxiously as possible? Handsome Ransom.
Handsome Ransom. Reese's Pieces. So what happens in this episode is it starts off with the boys having already been kidnapped and the monarch by the monarch, and the monarch is ransoming them off for $10 million, which Doc Rusty Venture does not have. So what ends up happening is Rusty's trying to get the money. He eventually ends up kind of stealing it from Pete White and Billy Quizboy, who have settled $10 million with a sketchy-sounding insurance company. And Captain Sunshine, I almost called him Dr. Sunshine. Captain Sunshine comes in, saves the day, takes Hank, but leaves Dean. And so now the monarch has lost Dean, and if they don't get him back, then they're on the hook for the $10 million that they have stolen from Rusty, who has stolen it from Pete and Billy. Then it goes into this kind of inappropriate, very odd relationship where Hank is becoming the new Wonder Boy, and it's
Wonder
not...
Boy!
Wonder Boy!
I had to. I couldn't help myself.
Of course. basically, more or less, Hank trying to be a new sidekick and abandon his dad, and then kind of figures out that that's not the best course of action.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good breakdown.
Yeah.
This was kind of a surprisingly tough one to break down. I don't really know why, but it kind of is.
A lot of happens where it kind of just like goes from one thing to the other to the other. Like, I didn't bring up the action team at all, you know?
Yeah. But the thing that I was kind of noticing on my rewatch here, I rewatched it again today. The two competing stories, the A and the B, if you will, if the A story is Hank and Captain Sunshine, the B is the ransom story, they don't really go together that well.
Yeah.
Like, they're both very entertaining in their own right, but as like a joint episode, they just kind of feel at odds with each other. Like, the one is so ridiculous and just Batman heavy, and the other one just kind of feels more like standard Venture Brothers fare, which isn't a bad thing, of course, but they just kind of feel not at odds, but they just don't quite mesh as well as I wish they would. Otherwise, I really like the episode.
Yeah, like, if you were to ask me if these two things happened, I would definitely have thought that they were in two different episodes, because they kind of feel like two separate episodes themselves. And you're like, sure. Oh, no, they were both together in the same thing. I mean, it makes sense that in this Handsome Ransom episode that Hank is gone and the other, you know, and is being ransomed. But they do feel like, I don't want to say at odds, but they do feel like two separate stories, and they just happen to happen at the same time.
Well, I think also one of the biggest issues is that the actual ransom part of it has some really good funny jokes, but the thing that you remember about this episode is Captain Sunshine. So yeah. I think that's the thing, is that it just takes over. So even if they did fit together, it would be, one would kind of need to be a little bit, well, really the ransom part would need to be a little bit more seamless. That being said, I still enjoy it, but I never remember any, like, if you had showed me a screenshot of Sergeant Hatred shrunk down and kind of camouflaged as money, I couldn't tell you what episode it's from.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, yeah, it just doesn't really stick around as memorable. And I think it's kind of unfortunate, because I think all the Captain Sunshine and Hank stuff is super memorable.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I'm in love with all of it. I think it's great. I mean, it's that perfect blend of, like, Venture Brothers of, like, there's the offensive line, and we are going to walk right up to it and do a little jig on it. And, like, it's like that perfect level of, like, this goes a little farther, I'm going to be very uncomfortable. Like, my wife, when we were watching it, was like, ugh. Like, every time they make a somewhat kind of, like, Hank's going to get it joke, she's just, ugh. Especially with the lube. And the
did he tell you about the, yeah, it feels kind of ooky. But then they save it, right at the next part. It was like, man, he was totally right about the lube. The suit slipped on like a glove.
Yeah, so, and good. It's, and that's what I mean. That's like that perfect level of like, oh, God, where is this going? This couldn't be getting worse. Oh, it's getting worse. And, oh, now they're doing a slumber party. Yeah. This is just gross.
Have
and,
a good night.
Oh, the lube was just to help him out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just to help put on the costume.
Yeah.
Duh.
A costume that is an odd costume.
What do you mean?
Very tight-fitting.
Very tight fitting. It's practically a vest and some tighty whities. So
super wedgie.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of feels a little reminiscent of like old school Robin costume. Like it's not that far off.
Oh no! It's super
pretty
reminiscent.
Much exactly it. Yeah. Just different colors.
So it doesn't really bother me too much. I see what you're saying. It's kind of gross, but
listen, if it was today and you were trying to come up with a costume for your male sidekick, that is not a costume that you would recommend or come up with. Well, I mean, for me, I don't know. Just,
I mean,
I would think
you
of something
have
else.
Full range
Maybe something
of
that had pants.
I mean, he could do anything in that costume. Nothing is constrictive.
If they did a lot of high kicks, yes. But unfortunately, if they had a scrotum like any other man, then, things are just going to pop out. Just putting that out there.
Well, all depends on how much he has to pop out. We don't know. Hank is one of the few people we haven't seen naked on this show. Well, I guess we've seen his clones naked.
Yeah.
But this is a rabbit hole I don't really want to go down any further, though, so let's move.
Anyways. As we were coming up to this line and dancing a jig on it.
Yep, let's dance away. The other thing I really want to, I love in this show, and specifically in this one, I mean, we bring it up a lot. When they get celebrity guests, or like, not really celebrity, but you know, like voice actor celebrities, they really knock it out of the park. And if you're going for a mock Batman character, who better to get than fucking Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, his voice is iconic.
Yeah.
And when you're watching this episode and Captain Sunshine comes on screen and you hear his voice, and you're like, wait, what? It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. And it's just because it's such a Batman role. Like, it's clearly just a big, like, Batman pun, almost. Like, just the whole way through. So having him voice it just makes it that much better. Like, everything down to the, he can only work during the day, because at night he fights crime a different way. It's just like, this is perfect. I'm so happy that he did it. And we can get into a little bit of why I'm happy that he did it once. And I think once was enough. But I think for this episode, it was perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that if it continued more than this, I feel like it would be, I'm sure that they would kind of find a way, but I think that after, what's his name? The astronaut who I can never remember, Manstrong?
Yeah, Bud Manstrong.
Yeah, after Bud Manstrong, I think that they were gun-shy to revisit characters that may have succeeded in one episode and bring them back for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it works so well. I mean, this is such a strong one-off or seemingly one-off character. And for them to nail it so much with, obviously, the voice actor. But I know, and I think, Brian, you were saying that there were some reservations of kind of with this potential being of Sergeant Hatred, too, to where it's like, he could be potentially be kind of a scene stealer and kind of just one of those big characters. And I think with Sergeant Hatred, they do actually pull it off with making him a very much a major character for the rest of the show.
Yeah, I'd say, with the exception of like maybe season 7 a little bit, they kind of start running out of ideas what to do with them, but up until then,
Yeah.
He's still
That's
a
true.
Major character.
Yeah. For the next,
But yeah, I
two
think,
and a half, three seasons, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think they could have gotten away with that more than the one time. So, like, leaving Bud Manstrong out, leaving Captain Sunshine out, like, these sort of bigger characters, I think was the right call. And honestly, out of all of them, prioritizing Sergeant Hatred, I mean, we've talked about a little bit here and there about, like, are you a fan of him being around all this time or not? And that guy warmed on me so much, and I love having him around. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about it in the book a little bit, which is interesting, that basically, like, the main reason why they think he succeeded was because he's the opposite of what Brock would do. So I brought up the camouflage and shrunk down as money. That's something Brock would never have done.
Oh, ever. No chance.
And no. The fact that Sergeant Hatred's stuck in this cubbyhole hideaway thing, just sweating until he's almost passed out, also something Brock never would have done.
Oh, there's no chance Brock would have ever let Rusty get him that far.
No.
Like, never. No chance.
And Rusty would have probably never suggested it. He would have been too afraid.
I don't know. I feel like Rusty would push the bar with Brock as much as he could.
I don't know if he would have even come up with the idea. I think he would have just kind of let Brock run the show.
Yeah, I think that's more what it is. Like, I feel like if he was allowed to come up with the idea, this is the idea he would have come up with.
Yeah.
But with Brock, the situation would have already been done.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and whereas Sergeant Hatred is like still trying to find his role in this place, kind of find out where he fits. And so, you know, Doc would come up with something, and he'd be like, I guess I'll just go with that.
Yeah.
And he's just too, I don't want to say dumb or stubborn, but, he's the man who's calling the shot, so I guess he's just go with whatever the Doc says.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's actually probably exactly what he thinks. He's just like, well, he's the one in charge, so...
I mean, he's a soldier. He listens to, like, this is what he's supposed to be doing. This is what he's going to do.
Yeah.
The other part with the whole, like, hostage part that I really enjoy is the Monarch. Like, the Rusty and Pete White and all that stuff, it's fine. Like, it doesn't really grab me that much or hold me that much, especially Dean. But this isn't really Dean's episode.
Right.
He has one great moment with the, where's the other one? Present. But otherwise, it's like, he's fine. But the Monarch and Captain Sunshine, like that, if there was going to be an argument of bringing him back just for his interaction with the Monarch, I could hear it. I'm not sure if I'd agree with it, but I could see that argument because those two were fucking hysterical together.
Yeah, they play off each other really well.
Because
they're just so, they're both very big characters themselves, and just them playing off each other, it just works so well. There's something about that combination. It's great.
It's just fucking hilarious. Like, just the whole, he just chucks him into a jail yard. And you can tell this isn't the first time he's done this. Like, the Monarch is annoyed. He's like, God, not again? Like, come on. Like, I don't remember the exact line. I know I just watched it today. But it's like the, nobody told Captain Sunshine about due process. <It's> like,
yeah.
And it's like, but of course not. Like, Captain Sunshine just is that sort of character. He's just a complete loon.
Yeah. Like, he takes himself so seriously, but yet neglects the finer details. And he's such a superhero. And the Monarch is such a... just a... kind of the same as, like, he takes himself so seriously as far as being a super villain and kind of neglects a lot of the details. But he's just... I don't know, so careless and so carefree, but so evil. I don't know. He's just such the perfect anti-Captain Sunshine. It's fucking great.
Oh, yeah. I love how quick the Monarch can be. Like, so he goes down Hank's bed, and he finds himself wearing the Wonder Boy uniform, is what we'll call it. And instead of being, like, pissed off or, like, confused or whatnot, he just spins it right on Captain Sunshine of, like, yeah, I bet you'd like to fuck your worst enemy and Wonder Boy at the same time. And
this
just
is
like,
just perfect for you, isn't it? Oh, God, take it off! Take it off!
Like, the Monarch, I mean, say what you will about his ability to be a good supervillain when it's not Rusty, he definitely has some chops.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he just ruined poor Captain Sunshine in, like, the matter of seconds.
Yeah, but then he also... gave Captain Sunshine his steroids. Like, I'm so confused by his I guess he wanted to give him a sunburn as well, but he should have probably connected the dots.
Yeah.
That, like, Captain Sunshine gets his power from the sun.
That was also kind of Dr. Mrs. the Monarch's fault too, though. Because she was the one who designed the weapon. It's like, you didn't think about that? Or what did you think was going to happen?
It's one of those things, at least in my opinion, where it's, I can see the logical reasoning of, I have a sunshine cannon, I'm gonna take out Sunshine Man, That's like trying to kill Aquaman by drowning him. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I get the Monarch's anger of, like, this motherfucker keeps showing up and just giving me and all of my henchmen and my wife sunburns. He doesn't do fucking anything else but gives us really annoying, really bad sunburns. I'm going to give this son of a bitch a taste of his own medicine. And I can just see the Monarch and Mrs. Monarch getting stuck on that loop in their head. Like, they just can't get past it. Like, no, we're going to teach him a lesson. And give him his own medicine. And it just... until they fire the can, like, oh, yeah. Oops.
Yep.
And I love how Captain Sunshine at that moment just goes completely nuts.
Oh, yeah. He just got a, like, he just did the biggest line of cocaine. It's like...
And then kind of you turn over to Pete White and the rest of the crew. They're like, I don't know them. I'm not with them at all.
Pete White points to himself and goes, albino. Like, just imagine how bad that would hurt.
Oh, God.
And the problem is I hate Pete White so much that I'm kind of like, eh, fry him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That fucker deserves it.
Yeah, this show has really made me, I used to kind of be ambivalent towards Pete White. But it's really made me hate Pete.
Yeah, I used to be kind of a fan, and then we had to go and start this podcast, and I was like, fuck Pete.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about Dr. Venture being the worst, but really, Pete White's just the worst. And the combination of the two is just god-awful.
Oh, yeah. The fact that they're friends just makes everything worse.
Oh, God.
And they're not just, like, kind of friends. They're good friends. They consider each other, like, Pete considers him his best friend, which is weird because of Billy, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Pete White did something horrible? That's so out of character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious why and that Pete White doesn't look at Billy Quizboy as his best friend.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a shithead, and he likes famous people. There you go. Yeah.
So, actually, I do have a question. So, since we are now talking about White and Quizboy, so they pulled off an insurance scheme somehow that we don't really know about or kind of get to? I don't know if we ever get an idea of what they actually did, but I did also want to bring up the idea. So the check that we see just for a brief moment is from General Consolidated Insurance. Is that the Guild of Calamitous Intent?
I think you kind of have to assume so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not 100%,
this is like the
but...
first time that we kind of even get a hint at that, right?
Well, we've gotten hints at many times, but I think this is the first time we really get, like, a hint that there could be somebody else involved. So I think, and Nick and I were talking about this earlier, and I think you were there. We think this is the first major hint at the investors.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Because we haven't seen them yet, right?
No. We've seen, obviously we've seen, how the fuck am I forgetting his name?
We've seen the agents.
Oh, you silly Billy.
Dr. Henry Killinger.
Killinger, thank you. We've seen him, and he's clearly affiliated with them, and they get, you know, deep into the weeds much later on. But other than him, I think we've had not even a hint that the investors are even a thing yet.
Yeah, right. Not yet. And just for the people, I guess, at home, because the insurance and the guild have the same initials, it's a running theme in the show that the guild has, like, multiple companies under its kind of umbrella that have the same initials. So it would be GCI.
Yeah.
And then there are other organizations that have the same idea.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was the first time that I noticed it in the rewatch, to where it's like, oh, yeah, they did pull off an insurance scheme. Oh, what is the check from? Oh, GCI. I wonder.
And I also have that, like, wait, Pete White and Billy Quizboy pulled something off?
Right.
Well, but I also think, because as you brought up the investors, I think pulled something off is very heavy air quotes.
What? No.
More
what
of,
I was meaning was more like, if you're not paying attention to the investors and the guild,
right.
It's like, wait, how did they do this? It's Pete and Billy. So when you start breaking it down, oh, it makes sense that there's other players involved.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
otherwise, these fucking guys aren't doing it.
Yeah, and especially because, like, $10 million, that's a big claim. Like, that would be tough to pull off. And especially, it's like, they're making shaken martinis with neck braces on. It's like, huh, yeah. They're not the best at pulling things off.
No, they're not.
New.
They might be the worst. Higher than Rusty, of course. Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty's definitely. He has such like a high failure rate. It's oof.
It's comical.
Except for the clones. Very, very successful at that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, I was so sure that there was another example of a GCI thing from either before or a little bit after this. I can't find anything. So maybe I'll bring it up if it pops up again. But I was just trying to think.
Yeah, that's why I was like, is this the first time? Because I was really trying to recollect if there was another thing, but I couldn't remember. And if there was, it was either so well hidden or I wasn't paying attention well enough.
I feel like there was one, but I don't know well enough to say for sure, and I definitely don't have enough like stuff in front of me to be able to like dig through it and find it in a timely manner. So,
other than in, I think it was the Orb episode when we actually go back to when they're like, we're the Guild, we're not the Guild of Calamitous Intent. Other than that being the kind of the origination of the phrase, the name, I don't recall anything off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I kind of want to talk about in this episode, because we haven't really, in the first episode of the season, you don't really see where he ends up, and this is the first time you get to see him. This is the birth of 2-Ton-21, which is far and away my favorite version of him. I love him, past this, when it's just basically him and the Monarch and they're having fun. But when he's like the rogue henchman, like the badass henchman, it's kind of my favorite time for him.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, in season 7, he and the Monarch have a pretty heavy shift, and that's my favorite version. But the start of this journey is definitely my favorite for
sure. It's so good. Like it's just so fun. Good.
And you can definitely see that he's still trying to figure it out. Like when you see him in this episode of like, I forget how the Monarch phrases it, but it's like there's a taxi cab waiting in the front. Finish him or something like that, and 2-Ton-21 runs out to get him, and you're like, oh my god, he's gonna murderize that guy. And then later we revisit and he just pays him off to leave, and you're like, oh yeah, he hasn't changed that much.
I fucking love that. I just and I love that it ended up not helping at all. He still fucking died.
Yeah. Yep,
that poor guy. And he's just trying to ask for his money. It's just like, shit.
You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have even picked him up.
Yeah. I mean, especially after, like, it's kind of his own fault if you think about it. Last time he helped him out, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, just.
I think he said, I was told to kill you.
Yeah, I was told to kill you.
Because he goes, what, no tip? He's like, man.
There it is. Yeah, okay. it's kind of your own fault. Like, you shouldn't have gone back.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm not one to victim blame, but at the same time, it's like, he was hanging out with a bear that's like, if you come back here, I'm going to eat you. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to hang out with the bear again, though. Well, then, you might get eaten.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Is there anything else we haven't really hit on this episode? We didn't really talk that much about Hank and Captain Sunshine. I feel like we should spend some time on them.
I mean, their combo is pretty great. I mean, we talk about Hank being in his element.
Yeah.
This is it. One, for the voice actor being Batman is just hilarious. And
Kevin Conroy. We probably should say his real name at some point here.
Sure.
I mean, I love thinking about him as just Batman, but he does. The man has a name.
I mean, come on. He is Batman.
I don't disagree with you. I just feel like, you know.
All right, Kevin Conroy. Anyways.
Thank you. Thank you.
But talk about Hank being in his element. Like, this is it. This is his moment, and this is what he loves. And I think it definitely shows kind of an arc for him to finally then be at the end of the episode and be like, this isn't right.
Well, I also had this thing of, like, there's a part of my head that just keeps going, and maybe it's because the last line of the episode, or maybe it's just his attitude, the whole thing. I don't think Hank sees this as like, oh, I get to be Wonder Boy for Captain Sunshine. I see it as Hank going, I'm auditioning to be Robin.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, at the end, he says, like, can you put in a good word with Batman? He's like, get out of my sanctum solarium!
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to favorite lines later, but yeah, there's definitely, that's one of my favorite, is that whole interaction between the two of them.
Yeah, it's... And it's kind of too bad. Like, there's a part of me that's like, ah, Captain Sunshine just needs a friend. But at the same time, every time he's anyone sees Hank, everyone has the same reaction, which is, damn, Cap, another one?
That's another great moment. Damn, Cap, another one? And I think it's even funny. So we'll get to the actual sequence of Captain Sunshine's plural. But I think for even the butler, the first moment that he sees, you're like, oh... You didn't.
Yeah.
Not another one.
Well, why don't you explain the Captain Sunshine's thing? Because I feel like that's something that goes over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have this down as well as Nick does.
Nick, why don't you explain the Captain Sunshine's thing? Because I feel like that's something that goes over some people's heads.
What do you mean his thing? Like his chronology?
Yeah chronology, like how the Captain thing. Sunshine so in this episode is not the first. Yeah. And yeah.
So the original Captain Sunshine is the butler. I think it comes up in a later episode, so I don't want to spoil anything because it's in there.
It does. I think it's in where we actually meet Henchman 1.
Yes.
Or not Henchman 1, it's 0.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
In that episode, you find out that he's the original Captain Sunshine, and the Captain Sunshine now, Scarsdale, is the original Wonder Boy. Then you have Wonder Boy 2, who we see later on, who is voiced by Patton Oswalt, which I think is next season, or maybe near the end of this season.
Isn't that when they do like the sidekicks therapy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then... Oh, wow, yeah. Then the third Wonder Boy is killed, and then Hank is the fourth Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like as much as this show kind of wears a lot of its info on the sleeve, I feel like a lot of people just kind of miss that. I don't think it's as well stated as a lot of their other stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely don't find that out for, like you said in your chronology, we definitely don't find out all of that information for a while.
But
I don't really see that as a criticism. I think that's kind of cool. That kind of leads into the I don't know how to state it, but I think that leads into just the coolness of this show and how it lays out. Even just, like as we said, of like just this character of Captain Sunshine is great. Is great as a one-off, as great as, you know, Kevin Conroy is. If there was too much of it, we wouldn't like it as much, I don't think. But it does give this kind of era and this history behind this character without leaning too heavy on Kevin Conroy and leaning too much on this Captain Sunshine. I think it works really well. Again, goes to show that the genius of this show to build on something like that in this way over many seasons of this show, which just seems to be... such a one-off character, such a thing that could just have been like, oh yeah, that one guy, oh yeah, Bud Manstrong, yeah, whatever. But I don't know, it just speaks to the ingenuity of the show that I just love.
Yeah
absolutely.
I think we've kind of hit everything that we can on this one, though, unless there's something that you guys really wanted to bring up.
Nah.
All right, let's go into quotes. I'm going to go first with my quote because mine hasn't been said yet, which I'm pretty proud of. And it comes from 21 because I love 21. And really, whenever he has a good line, it makes me excited. And this time he had a line that was a callback to one of his earlier lines, which was when he had to shoot Hank and he thought he was killing Hank. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry about killing you. I just didn't know what else to do. And then this time, Hank... shows up at the top of the stairs as Wonder Boy and goes flying down the stairs to fight him, and 21's like, Hank, what are you doing? And Hank's just like trying to kick his ass, like, body blow, body blow. And 21 doesn't even like put his weight into it, just kind of sticks his arm out and clocks him in the jaw, and he just goes, I'm sorry I had to pop you one, but you're being a little dick.
It's so good.
Oh, it's good.
I will go next.
Go!
Do it.
So mine is the... when Chuck Scarsdale ends up landing, after crash landing his the helicopter and runs through the house, Dr. Venture sees him and goes, shit, it's Chuck Scarsdale. Hide, or we're going to be on the news. Then they all like run away as a group. I think that one's my favorite.
That's a good one. Graham, last but not least.
So, this is a moment that we didn't really talk about where Captain Sunshine was being videoed by his news team, or I guess the super action team or whatever it is. And then, I forget what the beginning line was, but prompted then by Ghost Robot to be like, "Do you want to talk about it? I know the feelings when one feels like they are just going through the motions of life, like they are a ghost or a robot." She's like, "No, thank you, Ghost Robot."
It's the best.
Fucking love it.
Oh my god, that's such a... It's just his delivery with his robot voice. Like, he's just... He's being sincere, but it's just hysterical because of his stupid robot voice.
And the fact that he is literally a ghost robot. And that's all that one could do. And all could expect from him.
Yeah.
Is just going through the motions. Like a ghost. Or a robot.
Or a robot. Oi.
Oh. Before we go, I found it because I was like, oh, something is making me. The last time we had a swap where it's GCI was the funding of Phantom Limb's muscle regeneration experiment, which was funded, quote unquote, by the Guild of Collegiate Investors.
Ah.
That makes sense then. Yeah, that works. Well done, Nick.
Yeah. I was trying so hard. I was like, oh, and I was watching the episode. And I was like, I'm sure it's in this. So I
gotta
found
be here
out.
Somewhere.
Oh, God, I feel so relieved.
Good. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So quick round of plugs and we can say goodbye. Be sure to check out our website, athpod.com, where you can find this show and Samwise I mentioned earlier and the OG After the Hype. We also have articles coming out twice a week right now. By the next few months, we're going to try to get up to about 3 or 4, maybe even 5 times a week. We have new shows coming down the pipeline all the time. Tons and tons of stuff always going on there. So athpod.com. That's really all of my plugs. You guys have anything to plug?
Nope.
Perfect. Be sure to tune in next week for the flip side of this. We had Hank this week. We got Dean next week. For perchance to Dean. Bye.
Bye.
bye.